Next on the mole, Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker discuss commutation, like of Chelsea Manning and the politics around it.
Mike, are you with us this morning?
I'm with you, definitely.
Yeah, you're in Mexico working and across the border. Thanks for being with us. We'll perhaps have another report on your work in the south of the border later. But today we're talking about the Obama's commutations during his last week in office.
The last burst of good news.
Right. Hundreds of sentences, bringing his total to 1,715 commutations over his 8 years in office. That number is less impressive in the context of the 20,000 others whose petitions were either denied or not processed. On pardons as well, where a crime is fully forgiven, Obama has been even more conservative. He's pardoned 212 people out of nearly 3,400 applications, less than most presidents in the last several decades. So lest we join the grief over our wonderfully progressive president leaving, which, of course, once again, in the context of what is happening, is truly grievous. Let's talk about those commutations and what they mean for both the lives of some of the famous political prisoners released, as well as their supporters and activists working on their behalf. Puerto Rican activist Oscar Lopez Rivera and whistleblower Chelsea Manning, of course, have been the most notable political prisoners released. What do you think is important about those commutations?
Well, Chelsea Manning was really important because she did spectacular work. What she leaked were thousands of individual field reports from the Iraq and Afghan wars that gave us a close picture of two flailing efforts that have been stumbling around. And these reports were generally pretty honest. And the most dramatic, of course, for me, was the filmed effort of the casual brutality of people high above randomly shooting people moving around on the ground who turned out to be civilians. It's put a face to the fact that war is hell, war brutalizes people. We sort of know that abstractly, but that vivid picture that was unforgettable, and it's had much to do with shaping our view of that war. And she also released some 250,000 diplomatic cables, which were incredibly informative about the goings-on of U.S. statecraft. They showed Washington lobbying to keep the minimum wage down in Haiti, the poorest country anywhere. The entrails of imperialism are revealed in those diplomatic cables. And they've been used by everybody. There's no scholar, no newspaper now who writes about America's foreign policy who doesn't rely to some extent on what she made available to us.
You know, Angela Davis has written a lot about the whole category political prisoner, how in this country where the special category political prisoners is not officially acknowledged, she says, the political prisoner inevitably stands trial for a specific criminal offense, not for a political act. That's a quote from her. And she's also challenged that the whole meaning of what it means to be a political prisoner, as well as talking about the ambivalence of the state in this country toward political prisoners. Is this an expression of Obama's ambivalence, or what is the signal that he released Chelsea Manning, particularly given the outrage about it and all of the case against her mounted by the state?
Well, they treated her like the most vile prisoner imaginable. The army had her in unspeakably bad conditions. They'd punish her for using an outdated toothpaste. It's
in one of the federal prisons.
Yeah, and in Leavenworth, a prison reserved strictly for men. So that was really surprising to me that he would do that, because but she got various support from transgender people, from even some you know, right-wingers, as Julian Assange has become the bête noire of the Democrats after having been the poster boy of evil for the Republicans back when he was releasing materials damaging to what they wanted to do. So she's been adopted, and it's gotten more political support recently, but it was still a big surprise given the deep state's loathing of what she did, you know, much exposing of the actual workings of America she did. But Oscar Lopez is a more classic political prisoner, like the Haymarket criminals in 1870 in Chicago on May Day. He was sentenced to, under seditious conspiracy laws, for bombings that no one denies he was not present at, but he had, for his writings about bombings, about what methods needed to be followed in order to attain independence for Puerto Rico. So his release was greatly, there were tremendous numbers of people in Puerto Rico and in this country who had picked up his case. It was less of a surprise to me that Obama would, in light of Lynn Miranda and other prominent celebrities' attachment to it, that he would actually commute his sentence, but it's long overdue.
There was quite a
bit of actually committing the crime.
There was quite a bit of disappointment that Leonard Peltier, the Native American activist who was convicted of murder in 1975 after two FBI agents were killed in the shootout on a reservation in South Dakota, you know, there's been a campaign for his release for decades. And how do you assess the denial of his petition?
Well,
particularly given that there's so much now with Native American
FBI's resistance, and that the FBI in this case was they're dead set against his release, and God knows there's, as you noted earlier, there's thousands of worthy people who are not released. But I'm going to enjoy here one last moment of pleasure at an executive act, since I'm not likely to have any similar feelings over the next several years. But he released hundreds of people who had been subject to hyper-punishment, who I think, and I think Angela Davis would too, are political prisoners. People sentenced to life terms for nonviolent drug offenses. The disparity between crack cocaine and regular cocaine, I think, is widely known. He moved to remedy that to some considerable extent. He didn't do much more than other presidents have on pardons, but he did spectacularly well on commuting excessive sentences.
You're saying not just high-profile cases.
Right. I mean, just lots of people. He actually went to a federal prison in Oklahoma and talked to some of these people, which no president has ever done before. And he knew many of these cases pretty well, and people close to him, of course, knew them much better. But lowering the sentences of 330 people on one day is a great way to say goodbye.
And so you're saying that those are moments that are important to acknowledge and celebrate, and what that means for not only the prisoners themselves, but for those people who've worked on their behalf for so long.
Yeah. There were tremendous numbers of people working for each of these individuals. They had to have some support. He did invite people to apply. You're right, he had a far greater number of applicants than were accepted. But that was at the behest of the White House. Make your case, he said, and lots of people did. In the course of doing that, even if you lost, there was, you know, energy and activity around each of these thousands of people.
Okay, well, Mike Snedeker, thanks for being joining us from your trip out of town today to talk about Obama's commutations. And we've got our work cut out for us here with our Left in the Law segments in the upcoming period.
Well, we do indeed. We are just beginning.
Okay.
We have to work very hard.
Okay, thanks so much. This is Jan Hocken talking today with Mike Snedeker about Obama's commutations during his last weeks in office.